Rears ahead on Talk About with Mary Lucy in association with Cara Credit Union.
Welcome, Mary.
Thank you, Deirdre.
Good to see you, girl.
Thank you.
Listen, before we get into our topic this month, which is preparing sixth class students for secondary school, I just have to ask you, because I think it's relevant. I was talking earlier in the programme about how runners have become so common in the workplace. Mm-hmm. You know, way more than they were, we'll say, they were 20 years ago when you kind of have to wear high heels or at least a decent shoe. And I'm asking the listeners about, you know, is there any circumstances in which they still think runners are unacceptable? And I was just thinking as I saw you coming in, I would imagine job interviews, there isn't a hope you should wear runners at a job interview. Am I right?
Well, I would think that you shouldn't wear them at a job interview, yeah.
Yeah, regardless of the job.
Regardless of the job, really, because you need to show that you have made an effort in appearing for your interview. And I think someone coming in a pair of runners, like, it just doesn't look right.
It shows
That's
a lack
me.
Of
yeah.
respect. Yeah. But then again, I suppose you, me and Danny Lean, who's on, we're all the same generation.
Yeah, I mean, so. I'm older, obviously. Yeah. But I still think that someone can say, you know, I normally wear runners for comfort and to make sure I can move around faster at work. But today I'm wearing, you know, you can make a comment if you wanted to. But I think, yeah. And I think anyway, if you're dressed up, that runners don't look as well as a normal pair of shoes, especially even with a man. I mean, a male like trousers on a man and then runners, I don't think they look great.
They ruin the
outfit.
That's
my own opinion now,
of
course.
No. I just thought, as you were here, I thought it would be well worth checking with you that it was relevant. Anyway, what we're going to talk about today, and I'm glad you're going to talk about it, because I've often remarked to people over the years that there's so much talk about preparing a child for their first day in primary school and so little talk about the preparation from sixth class to first year, which I think is equally
a huge change for them.
So that's your topic.
Yeah, it's a huge transition, it really is. And I think it's probably one of the biggest transitions that they will have, because it's the first time they're going off on their own, really. You know, even when you talk about college, they've already kind of started to go out, etc., on their own. It is huge. It's huge, like, from an academic perspective, from a social, you know, from emotional. And I really think that there isn't as much preparation as there could be done. Even, you know, schools try and do their best, I know. But even from the guardian's perspective, I think they can even do more over the summer. That's why I decided to talk about it today, because I think there's a couple of months before they're taking off to secondary school. And, you know, people can be working and improving their skills and their abilities, you know, in the sixth class students, even now until August, and they will definitely see the benefit of it afterwards.
So what are the changes the transition period brings?
Well, I mean, firstly, the whole area of the academic, it's a completely new academic landscape for them when they go into secondary school. You have to remember, I suppose, they're used to being sixth class, they're the eldest normally, and the senior class group in the school. So they tend to be the bosses in the school at that stage. They're really well used to the whole, you know, processes, the procedures in their primary school. Their teachers, they have one teacher that they really normally have a good relationship with and knows them very well. And they normally feel very secure within that. And the whole environment of the primary school, you know, they know the yard well, they know what they have to do, where they have to go, you know, they're given great guidance. And suddenly they're landed in, especially if they go into one of the big, larger town schools.
Like Mount Hawke, for example, is massive, yeah.
And, you know, and if you consider they're coming even from a small, maybe, you know, a very small country school, and they're going into facing them. And I suppose the first thing that a lot of them say to me that greet them is that, like, some of the students in there have beards, they say, you know, because the sixth year, some of the males, they're driving into school and they have beards, and that's what the first year see, you know, and suddenly they're all walking around together in the canteen. So it's amusing, the things that they would pick up on that perhaps as a parent you don't notice. So suddenly they're in there and there's huge volumes of people. They're not sure where they're going. They're not sure what classroom they're supposed to be in.
They have 10 different teachers.
Yes, and they don't even have the familiar face, you know, of a teacher that they know. And they're scared. And no matter what they, you know, how cool they pretend to be or how, you know, with it they pretend, they're all really scared internally, you know. And so from that side of it, it is huge. You know, and then maybe they're dropped off or they're getting buses And again, even when they come out of school, when you think of some, a school like Mount Auk, I mean, there's loads of buses there. How do they know what's the right bus to get on even, you know? And I know a number of students that ended up ringing their parents that they had got on the first bus when they came out of the school the first day, and they ended up in different villages, you know, and the parents had to go and collect them. And simply, we don't think sometimes of you know, some of the new, we'll say, you know, scenarios that are facing the students, and we take a lot for granted that they'll be fine about, and they're actually not. And it's not that they won't be fine, they will, but there will be a trend, there will be a transition period, and lots can be done even now between now and when they start in secondary school, so that that transition is a little bit easier for them.
Yeah, so give us a few pointers. What would you like to see parents doing for those kids who are maybe 12, 13?
Yeah, so first of all, try and encourage them to do as much as they can for themselves even now, and for the rest of the, you know, up and for the rest of the school year for them even. You know, so if you're inclined to get their lunch, don't get their lunch. If you're inclined to check, have you got your PE gear? Have you got your books? Have you got, you know, your jacket? Stop doing that. You know, I know there's repercussions, they may forget them, but if they forget them once or even twice, they'll remember them then and they'll start to look after them themselves. If you're doing too much, and all of us tend to do this because sometimes it's faster to do it, you know, we want to check that they've got a proper lunch, you know, we know the school may ring us if they haven't got their PE equipment or whatever. So if you can, try and, you know, give them over control, that they are, you know, in control of their own items. They have to, organise them. And it's the organisation skills are really beneficial when they go to secondary school. It's their lack of organisation skills cause problems. You know, so that's one area, the organisation. Try and get them to problem solve themselves. So if they want to ask a question, you know, even if they're going out, you know, and you're in a restaurant, you're having a pizza and you're ordering for them, you know, let them order, let them speak up. Because a lot of time, if they have a problem, there will be someone in the school that will help them, but they really find, you know, they don't have the confidence to ask, you know. And they don't want to seem anyway different from anybody else. So if they're not sure of something, they're presuming everybody else will know it, do you know?
Yeah.
So they need to be able to say, I'm not sure what you mean about that. Like, can you help me here? I don't know where I'm supposed to go. Now, the schools, in fairness, are really good, and they've really tried, like, to bring in, you know, kind of an induction phase, and they bring in the first years before the other students to give them, you know, to let them feel some bit of confidence, you know. So it will all help them. So if you do that, you know, get them more independent, get them, you know, to try and problem solve, get them to help with their organisation skills. And actually, research has shown that the more self-esteem and confident a student is, the less likely they're going to be bullied in school. And a lot of parents worry that their sixth class student will be bullied when they start in secondary school. So, you know, the more confident they are, the more self-esteem they have, the less chance even that's going to happen. So encourage all that over the summer, you know, give them a little bit of extra freedom, give them maybe some responsibilities. And it might be difficult to do that, and you might be nervous about it, you know, and worrying about them. But you have to remember, in a couple of weeks, they're going to be taking off, and they will have to do all those things themselves, you know.
Yeah.
I suppose so. That's so beforehand, and that's really important beforehand. When they actually start, another thing is that bring them up to the school if you can beforehand, even during the summer. You know, let them have a look around. What's it like around? You know, trying to be sure where the bus will stop. If it happens the bus doesn't come, what are you going to do? And have a plan in place that they know if something goes wrong, well, I can do this. So that will reassure them then, and they won't be worried about it, you know, that if the bus doesn't come up, or if they're late for school, or the smallest of things really can worry them, you know. So even if they can see where their lockers are, and, you know, where do they get their books, where do they put their books, all those kind of things, it can help them greatly. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so there's loads of things that people can do, which is great, loads of things that parents can do. Is there anything that parents should not do?
I mean, try not to build it up to the point that they are, that, you know, the children might be fine about going to secondary school, but every time you meet them, like, you're saying, oh my God, I can't believe they're starting secondary school. I'm so worried about them. You know, will they be able to cope? Will they manage? They're very shy. They're very quiet. So try to normalise it as much as possible. You know, you can say, you can, you know, acknowledge that they may feel nervous. That's natural. It's a new adventure for them. They're well able for this. You know, they're going to make, you know, make new friends, they'll have new subjects that are exciting, they'll have different teachers. So, you know, and some they may love, some they may not, but that's part of life, you know. So again, normalise it and don't make, you know, a big issue about something that may be small that they're even concerned about. You know, acknowledge how they feel, but get them to, you know, to work through the feelings and to get them to solve problems that they have themselves.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay. And that's maybe go through a few scenarios with them.
Yeah.
What will you do or what should you do if X, Y, Z happens?
Exactly.
What's your response to that? I think as well, a lot of them are a little bit older now, starting secondary. They're maybe close enough to 13.
Yeah, whereas they're better.
Back in the day, you'd be barely 12 going into first year.
So you are a bit older, you know. And as well, like sometimes parents contact me maybe early September saying they're worried that their son or daughter isn't doing well in school. And that's after a couple of weeks, do you know? And they're worried about, you know, are they studying enough? So don't put too much pressure on them either. You know, let them settle in and don't kind of go through every item, you know, and watch them, monitor them closely. You know, let them settle in. They'll be fine. You know, they'll do fine. It is important that they learn to differentiate between homework and study or revision. I think that's important. And as the earlier on they can do that, the easier it is for them to keep up with work. They're so used to doing homework from primary school and being told, like, do A, B, C, D and read page 5, 6, 7, 8, that in secondary school, you know, it's not as obvious what they're supposed to do to study or revise compared to homework. So they should differentiate that and be introduced to the concept of, like, go back over that a bit yourself, you know, so that you'll remember it. Because I do know that a lot of students find that Halloween comes and they get tests and they haven't been doing anything really outside of the prescribed homework because they're just not used to doing it. So if they can do a little bit, you know, I mean, that's going to help them all along.
Yeah, and I mean, they probably get completely overwhelmed. I mean, they do about 10 subjects in first year, which I think is a lot. Like,
it is a lot, and they're trying to deal with all the change, you know. Yeah.
Now, we've got a mother who's been in touch with us, and she says she's wondering how can she support her daughter who's very quiet and will be starting in a large secondary school in September. She had a twin brother who was in the same school as her in primary, but he's going to another secondary.
Yeah, and I get this a lot, actually, from people that they are worried. I suppose the first thing I would say is that just because someone is quiet doesn't mean that they're not confident in themselves. Being quiet doesn't always equate with, you know, lacking confidence. And I know myself, one of my own children, I would have thought, you know, one of the older ones always minded him in school. And, you know, I was kind of worried myself personally when he was leaving for secondary school. Would he be okay in sixth class? And he absolutely blossomed because he said he had great freedom because the other guy was all the time watching him and checking on him and making sure he was doing everything right. So this could be the same scenario here. So she may absolutely blossom the fact that she hasn't, you know, got somebody else, a twin with her. Just to remember that, like, you know, what worries an awful lot of parents and students is that, will they make friends? Will I have a friend in secondary school? Like, you know, if I walk into the classroom, who will I sit with? And I've actually worked with a number of students who've actually dropped out of school and refused to go to school because they didn't feel they had friends and they didn't feel they had someone to go into. And that's something that should be picked up early on, you know, and, you know, even contrive a friend that at least when you walk into a room, you have somebody to sit beside. So, I mean, that girl, if I would check and see if there's other people going to be maybe from her class that are moving and that she might know, and ensure that she has somebody just that she can, for the first few days especially, that she can just, you know, sit beside, have her lunch with, spend lunchtime, you know, because that's very difficult for people. If they don't know somebody and they're on their own and they're walking around at lunchtime and there's nobody talking to them, that maybe 40 minutes for lunch hour seems like an eternity. And it seems to be, from my own experience, it's especially applicable to girls, whereas the males tend to go out and maybe kick around a football in the yard and they all just join in and that seems to be fine, you know.
Yeah, whereas girls go into little groups very early on.
And being left out of those groups can cause huge problems. And it is like that kind of exclusion, social exclusion, causes a lot of students to just don't want to go to school and they feel completely, you know, anxious about it. And they refuse to go to school and they just they just stop going and they drop out.
We're going to take a break, Mary, but we've more questions for you. Now, if anyone out there has a question about careers or college or school or anything like that for Mary, sent it in. We're talking today a little bit about the transition from sixth class to first year and how tricky that can be and how to negotiate it. But if you have another career topic that you would like Mary to discuss or something you want her advice on, do send in your questions. Remember, you can phone them through directly to Mary Murray on the calls today on 066 712 3666.
I know one mother who didn't tell her son at all that there was going to be anybody, you know, assisting him in school, and he got on great, and he came home and said, except for the fact there's one guy following me around all day when I'm in there, couldn't figure out why. It is difficult, and you see, it's a health and safety issue really with epilepsy, because if someone is severe and they have a seizure, you know, they need someone on hand that can administer medication or ensure that the correct, you know, action is taken. That person's probably far, the fact they're dealing with the epilepsy, they're probably far more mature even already compared to the standard, you know, first year going in. Like, they can look at it two ways. He can kind of ignore the person completely, and just if there's a problem or emergency or a situation, the person will intervene, or just include them, you know, and say, this is whatever, you know, his name. You know, he's here because I have a medical condition and sometimes I need help, you know, and just face it like that. And soon the friends will all realise, you know, that there is a medical condition, and if he's there, if he's needed. And it can bring a degree of comfort to people as well then, and to his friends, that they know so-and-so's here if anything happens, you know what I mean? So that they can relax about it, because sometimes they're nervous themselves if they've heard epilepsy, and if something happens to their friend when they're there, you know, in school, should they know what to do, you know? It also could be, you know, an idea, maybe the classroom or, you know, the class could be taught a little bit about epilepsy and what happens and how to help somebody with epilepsy, because you never know when you can develop it. So it could be used as an option, you know, or as not, you know, a time to be inclusive as well and to educate them about it, you know.
And chances are young people nowadays are being diagnosed with all sorts of, you know, even neurodiverse conditions.
That's right,
and a lot of them need help, and a lot of them need a laptop and other things. So he probably won't be the only person
not
in the class
at all.
Who needs a bit of assistance.
And I mean, you know, it's very common nowadays to have, you know, assistance at various degrees and various means. So, I mean, people just accept it and they move on.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Kate was in touch with us. She said her child is very, Imid is very mature, and she feels he's not ready at all to start first year. She's worried about him being bullied. She says all he wants to do is play football and he's no interest in homework. Well, sure, you could apply that to half the boys.
You could. And once they play football, he'll be fine. He probably won't be bullied at all.
Yeah.
And if he's good at football, he'll be a hero. So, I mean, she needn't worry about that. I think sometimes that's probably the parent worrying rather than, you know, maybe the child perhaps. But again, as I said, work on their self-esteem, their confidence, you know. If he's sporty, I mean, like, there will be place in school for them to be sporty and they can join teams, which is really good for them. You know, but I mean, I would say somebody who is sporty, they already have, and if they're good at sports, they already have an in, kind of confidence to be able to do the sport, you know, and that will stand to them in other walks, in academics, in when they start, you know, in a new environment, in school, you know. To be a good player, you have to have a certain element of confidence and self-belief about yourself. And that will carry across when he's in a new environment then.
John was in touch. He wants to know how the first years will know how and what to study after school, or will they be left to their own devices?
They tend to be left to their own devices. They're given assigned homework normally. I do think probably the majority of schools don't teach students how to study effectively and efficiently. Some do bring in people to do workshops and that and study. You know, I think sometimes parents equate studying with being above in a room for 4 or 5 hours, you know, and that's a great sign that they're studying hard, whereas in actual fact, it means nothing, you know, to study effectively and to study properly. There's an art to it. And I don't think sometimes the students are taught that, or they're shown how to do it properly. They tend to be left their own devices, but I mean, there's loads, even if you look up online, good ways to study, you know, how long should I study? It should be short, you know, periods of study and then a break, maybe 25 minutes and then a break, you know. you know, and you should be active studying. So they should take notes, little notes or bullet points, whatever, when they're studying. So there's particular things that will help them when they're studying. They will be normally told what homework to do. They will have a diary normally, and like it can be ticked off or whatever then when they're in school.
Yeah, okay, very good. Now, this is a question not related to our topic today, but just related to careers. I don't know whether I should answer this one or you.
Right.
The listener says, I'm inquiring about my daughter currently sitting her junior cert, who wants to go into journalism and TV presentation or punditry. Is there a lot of opportunities for that kind of work, please?
Well, what I would say to anybody who asks me that kind of question is that if you're really good at that kind of work, well, then there is opportunities. There's always opportunity for somebody who's really good and excels in a particular area. There's lots of courses, there's lots of areas that she can look at. I would say if she's going into junior cert, is it now?
She's doing her junior cert.
Yeah, so she's got an opportunity. If she can do TY next year, that is the time to explore all those different areas. Volunteer, do short courses, you know, try and get into studios, try and get into wherever you can, local newspapers, writing, you know, and use TY to the absolute maximum benefit to see if those are going to be, you know, right for her. She'll very quickly get to know if she loves what she's doing. You know, is it exciting for her? Is she dying to get on and try to do things? So use the work placements to the max, you know, try and do online courses. And I mean, there is opportunities in all those areas.
Yeah, and of course, here in Kerry, we have our Radio Kerry, Kerry College Broadcasting and Journalism course and Digital Media course, which is something that she might think about down the line. Now, obviously, she's only in junior cert and she might change her mind, but it's there and it's good to have that here
in
Kerry.
And if you have a seed like that can be planted, you know, at this stage, you know, I mean, this is the right time to do it. And there's even TY Media Weeks, you know, that they can do. You know, so look around and see and start building up skills. There's loads of even editing software that's free she can download, you know, so start putting together and building a little portfolio for herself about, you know, so that even if she's gone to do a course or go to somebody else for a part-time job, she's got something to show. Well, this is what I can do. I'm interested in, you know, presenting, or I'm interested in radio. This is what I can do. You know, so start using it and building up her career portfolio.
Yeah, I'm smiling to myself because I can see both sides of it. She's throwing this out as a possible career and the mother is thinking, but is there work in it? It's like when your son or daughter wants to be an actor, the parent goes, oh, for God's sake, there's no work in that,
know.
You know?
Yeah.
But just to say to her as well that there'll always be work in media, you know?
Always, yeah.
Storytelling is one of the world's oldest professions.
Yeah. And there's lots of different ways. I mean, there's digital media, there's podcasting. Like, there's such an array within the whole media, you know, field that someone can decide she might do one thing and start to love some other area, you know what I mean? And the whole sound, audio, design, visual, you know, there's just so much there that they can do and look at.
Yeah. Question just in, Mary. A listener says, I'm filling up a form for a part-time springboard course. I'm a carer. Should I put down unemployed in the form? Only other choice is employed. So being a carer is being employed, isn't it?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Unless she means full-time care at home, maybe.
Yeah, she just says, I'm a carer. Should I put down employed in the form? The only other choice is unemployed. So I think yes, definitely. I mean, you are employed if you're a carer.
Yeah.
One way or the other, I would say definitely yes. Listen, Mary, we better let you go. Is there any... are there any deadlines coming up or anything that people should be aware of?
Well, I suppose the 1st of July is the deadline for the CEO change of mind. We'll talk about that next month. Before the last hurrah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And just that the leaving cert and the junior cycle, the exams, the official exams will be starting after the May bank holiday weekend.
June bank holiday weekend.
June weekend, sorry. Yeah. I'm behind myself, isn't it? June bank holiday weekend. So just to wish everybody the best of luck with that. Yeah. And to just keep calm and do your best. That's all you can do. And everything will sort out and everything will be fine.
It all works out.
It all works out always, yeah. And there's routes to get to anywhere you want, just to remind people.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Mary, thank you so much. We'll chat to you again in early June sometime. And thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. And just to add, by the way, that we will put Mary's segment up as a podcast, because even if you who don't have a child going from sixth class into first year, you might know somebody who does, who could benefit from listening back to all the advice Mary gave, which is top class advice as always. So check out radiocurry.ie podcasts, and I'll get this one up as soon as we possibly can. Now, it's coming up to 2:30. We'll be meeting some very talented young students who'll be chatting to us about their Junk Couture project. That's up next.